Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Are officially on the couch. We're on LA Talk Radio here, and we're all over the place. We're on the radio. And live stream here on the couch with Dr. Michelle. I'm Dr. Michelle Cohen, and welcome. We're going to have a great show today, as always. I have a fabulous guest, and we'll be talking to her in just a sec. But I also want to let you guys know that if you missed the show at all today, you can check us out right here on latalkradio.com. It'll be up on my webpage on the couch in the archives. Just click on the date today and you'll be able to listen to this again. And of course, we're up on our Facebook Live channel. We'll be in videos if you want to check us out. You want to see what we really look like in our sweatpants here as we battle for COVID. We put the makeup on, we got the sweatpants, so that's the words. We've got it down. Anyway, guys, if you want to contact us during the interview today, and I mean me and my guest, Jillian Harris, you can do so straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. You have any questions or comments? That is so cool. We'd love to welcome you and have you on the show with us today via text. Sorry, we're not doing live calls, but that's the way it works. Anyway, I want to introduce my guest today, and I have known her for, wow, in radio, maybe 25 years, I want to say. You've heard her on Los Angeles radio all over the place, and also she has written some amazing books as well. I've had her on the show talking about her last book, which I'm going to pop up right now. Have we met? You guys remember that? We're going to have to do an interview about that again, because this is a... We're talking 400 pages of a story of past lives. There she is, Jillian Harris. Hi, sweetie. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. 420 pages, actually.
No way.
Yeah, 420. And notice what's on page 420.
Oh, my God. You're so cool.
I told my formatter, if you can make that exactly 420 pages and put that particular chapter right there on 420, that'd be amazing.
Well, as you can tell, Jillian and I go way back because we're just on here. And like I said, we both met in and out of our lives on broadcasting in various radio stations. And here we are again on broadcasting. LA Talk.
Amazing, right?
Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah. And I believe we made this as a plan, you know, to hang out like this. And I was just saying at the beginning, I'm like, let's do it again next lifetime, too.
Let's do it again. And we'll be on another dimension creating even more cool things. Well, you are. I know that.
Oh, well, no, you too. You too. We're soldiers in this.
We are. Yeah. Speaking about soldiers in this, let me introduce you a little bit to Jillian. She's amazing. Holds a master's degree in spiritual psychology. She's a spiritual psychologist. Also, as long as I've known you, you've been so, I hate to use the word psychic, but you're more like a medium. I mean, wow. For all these years, you've been like tuned in. You're also a Reiki master, ordained minister and teacher. And also, you are an intention coach. I want to talk about that a little bit more to interview what your work is to folks. Medic, physical consultant, and conscious creation specialist.
Yeah.
And your company is called Worldwide Metaphysical Services, Intentions Meets Manifestation. And also, it's where marketing and metaphysics come together for business. So it's amazing. Now, your books, by the way, as I showed a little bit earlier, is, have we met? How to identify your reincarnated loved ones and the secrets of lost, the validity of multidimensional existence. And we're talking a lot of quantum things going on there too. So you've studied kind of a long time, right? I mean, you've been in it all for a long time.
You know, it's so interesting though. So for as long as I've studied it, I have so many questions.
Don't we always? Yeah.
That's how you know you really know it.
Right. And even the real physicists who are in consciousness, you know, they continue to have questions, but they're identifying things that are amazing. We'll talk a little bit, you know, about that as well. I also wanted to tell folks about, you know, on your website and all the cool things that you have done to help people during the COVID-19. So we're going to be talking a lot about that as well, and conscious creating during this really strange time. And how you have put out your 7 steps to dating during COVID, right?
Safely.
Okay.
Dating.
Also, you created a sex survey, which we're going to be talking about as well.
Sure did.
I went, what a boring outcome I had. Right?
None of it is boring. It's all so significant. Yeah.
I'm just blaming it on COVID.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah.
So anyway, let's rock it with sort of your beginnings, how you can kind of share with us as what is a conscious creation specialist? What does that mean?
So that means understanding how to rock the law of attraction, but in every way. So, you know, a lot of folks, like, I don't know, was it in the right around 2003-ish, 5-ish, 6th, I don't remember, I'm not sure when, but The Secret came out. Do you remember that documentary?
That was cool.
Way cool, exactly. So that went like massively viral globally. And so people really got into and got to understand the term, the law of attraction. And so now they're making affirmations. I'm a millionaire. I'm a millionaire. I'm a millionaire. I'm a millionaire. You know, and they're saying I'm a millionaire and writing it repeatedly all day and saying it all day. And a year later, they're like, damn it. I'm being evicted. I'm being evicted. You know, I don't have enough money. What's up with this? My affirmation's not working. It's about, I might be exaggerating a little bit. For some folks, I'm not exaggerating. I've had people actually tell me I'm working my affirmations. I bought this really cool crystal. I've got this stuff, but it doesn't work, you know? And so what is that? And so when I learned the real secret to it, and actually, I think in that documentary, which I appreciated just because they actually brought scientists into it to help explain it from a scientific angle, which instead of just, you know, making it like it's just some myth type of thing. So I appreciated that, but they also brought in that one ingredient that we miss, and I hadn't realized. I'd been exercising this myself forever. I mean, this is going to sound really whoa, but I just got, just like Jesus had a certain kind of childhood leading up to what, you know, he did as a man, you know, I had a certain kind of childhood leading up to what I do as a conscious creation specialist. I mean, I remember as a kid being able to explain to other kids, and we're talking junior high school. I don't think I was being quite that intellectual in elementary, but definitely by the time I was in my young teens, 12, 13, I was saying things about how to create stuff and how come we are naturally designed to do this. But my terminology was nothing like, you know, what it is now. But I would say simple stuff like, you know, well, we're God's kids, right? And I'd be like, right. Well, okay then. That's how come. So if you want this, and I came up with this man, I don't want to date myself too much, but let's just say voicemail.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say answering machines. What's that? But I remember creating my outgoing message And at the end of the outgoing message, you would say, if you need a miracle, by the way, if you need a miracle, make one. And people loved it when I said that. And I loved it when I said that. And I said it for years and did not know what I meant. And one day I'm standing outside of KJLH and I'm like 21 or something. And I'm saying to another friend, I'm like, I get anything I want. And I wasn't smiling. I was not happy. I was like, you know, I was perplexed. I'm like, what the hell? Why do I get anything I want? Whatever my ambition is, I get that.
Yes.
I just, how come? Yeah. So it took even, I'd say, another decade or so after that for me to really put the pieces together that there's actually a formula and there's actually energy that happens. And I've been rocking this for a long time. And I look back then at how come I get anything I want? And how is it that I make that happen? And it's a very interesting thing to, a fun thing to share with people.
Oh, that's amazing. You know, ever since I've known you, we were in our 20s.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have always, this is who you are. I mean, this is your spirit and who you are. And you always presented so and authentically loving.
Uh-huh.
This is not only are you beautiful inside and out, but also you've had this, this like velvety voice that I'm very jealous of and have always been. And you got your radio gigs. I mean, you just do an air check and they go, oh, she's hired. But it's also what you bring through the air, as we call it, you know, in broadcasting, not only in person, but just through the broadcast radio and television waves.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I really almost am stuttering a bit too much in response to that. But I remember really locking into, especially around the KACE days, when I finally, you know, peeled myself away from doing news and I was able to just be an air personality. I really got into delivering just like this. So when I'd meet people later, they'd be like, oh, talk like you do on the radio. I'm like, well, I'm doing it. This is it. And so the whole thing was just to be as authentic, you know, as possible. And being authentic, like that's where it became heart to heart. So I appreciate you saying that because I was just living it. And so it's nice to hear response.
Oh, absolutely. You know, my pleasure, honey. So, you know, you talk about, and I want to kind of jump to a little bit of the consciousness of what's going on right now with COVID-19 and how we're all coping with it. And of course, social isolation is messing up big time with depression and anxiety because we are human beings who are meant to socialize. So this is not, you know, we want to hug our friends and it's hard to do. And we want to meet new people. We want to get out and about. So we're all dealing with the financial crisis, you know, the political issues going on, the racial issues that are tense, you know, in this country. And so let's talk about sort of how this has affected us all. And, you know, even before COVID-19, you talk about how a lot of people were busy working, you know, on their aspirations. And then the pandemic created even worse circumstances.
Right.
I'm a creative, conscious, creative specialist. So how is this COVID-19, and you always spin everything positively, which is...
I'm getting ready. I'm just like, I'm getting ready. Where is she going to land? And I'm going to spin.
It's hard to figure out where I'm going to land. Extemporaneous sometimes is very, dyslexic for me. But anyway, you know, it's just, you say that this is a blessing, this COVID-19. And I went, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What is that about?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. That was the question. I'm ready to answer that.
Why is COVID?
How could it possibly be a blessing? Right. Right. Good question. Did that light make that better when I just moved that away? I hope so. So it caused us to slow down. It stopped a bunch of rat races. And, you know, collectively, this society, I want to say globally, but especially Western societies, America, let me just stay here in our country, in America. It's like technology moving too fast, people, you know, wanting stuff too fast because they know how fast technology can move. And so just push the buttons faster. I need my thing from you now. And, and so that rat race, and then, you know, and living in certain places, yeah, you know, we're in California, it's expensive out here. And so you got to go spend even faster on your hamster thingy, yeah, you know, to make it happen. So you then have a bunch of people talking about, like, I thought I was the only one who didn't have any spare time, where I was constantly, constantly working. And if I dared stop, then I would set off some other thing. Like, I wouldn't be able to keep up the pace. Like, the rat race is for a reason. It's not like we just rat racing for nothing. This is, we have to do this, you know, or so that's the perception, right? And then so it is. And none of that is healthy. The stress level, you know, collectively amongst Americans is out of control. I mean, obesity as part of just a effect, you know, cause and effect. So you have stress causing a lot of that, and just being stuck at desks and not being getting up and going out, and getting up and going out is a big deal. Making yourself get there for that 30-minute walk is a big deal. And, you know, getting a Fitbit because you need to count your steps. I have a Fitbit. Like, who, that's where we've come. And I have to use this to monitor whether I'm doing enough, and I got to do the math.
It forces us to really do the math. You're so funny. It really does force us to get up and get out and be, you know, more conscious, I guess, of our, what we have to do in order to survive. So that is, that part really is.
Well, and heart attacks and strokes and the level of high blood pressure and, you know, just all of the things. I mean, there was already depression prior to COVID-19. The suicide rate was already on the way up. You know, there were already problems psychologically, emotionally, as a result of life under these conditions. And so it's like, I believe, you know, that everything that we live is a reflection. Your outer experience is a direct reflection of your inner reality. And what we are experiencing is collectively that. Mm-hmm. So we needed to stop, and just one or two people wishing it could slow down was not enough. It needed to be collective, and boom, we got it. Now we got it in, you know, not a cool way. I wish we could have thought of something else, you know, where people didn't have to get sick and, you know, and the deaths and stuff that, you know.
Yeah.
But we also, that's why I'm here, to help us with how we consciously create this madness, you know, make a different kind of pandemic, make one that doesn't take people out, you know, and leave them with so much, you know, but we didn't know what our power was. And so, but anyway, we created this thing. I believe, yes, that, and that's part of what is a little bit challenging in teaching conscious creation. It's not sometimes the law of attraction works. It's for everything. It's either all or nothing. And so if it's all or nothing, then it also, on the positive spin of it, can help us get out of the darkness that we are in. So in terms of why it's a blessing, it got a lot of us to stop. I've heard so many people talk about, you know, how they focus now on their family. You know, immediately when we heard about, oh my gosh, it could kill you. First thing you do is, oh damn, is this how I'm going out? You know, I'm too young to go out. I'm too cute. Not now. It can't happen. And then you worry about your family, people that you love. And then, you know, they're talking about ages, and then, you know, and people with certain conditions. And you're thinking about people who have those conditions and are those ages. And so it became that actually is a beautiful quality. That's an awesome thing to make you get off the superficial, trivial stuff and now focus on, you know, quality life issues. Yeah. So I saw that. And then for me personally, and I don't know if others got this, but this is what happened for me. I had the time to reunite with a lot of friends from a long time ago. And I also had the opportunity to resolve three, you know, situations like with people. Yeah, like really intense things. Yeah. You know, one was a man when I was, you know, in my young 20s who had sexually had his way with me. Now, it was not like a brutal rape, but it was still the R word, really, you know, and you really look at it. I said no, and, you know, I said it three times at least. And, but it was awesome to be able to connect with him and to be able to express to him, because it was the kind of thing where it was so subtle, he didn't realize how he had, you know, hurt me. Yeah. And I had not let him know that. I had been just, you know, harmonized with the situation and, you know, move forward and, you know, avoid that in the future. But so I needed him to know that. And he grew up to be a police chief and stuff like that. And also grew up to be a really great person. And his response to me was so authentic. And so, I mean, it made me feel so blessed to be able to have that. Not everybody can get that. And he was like devastated with the fact that we hadn't had that conversation a couple of decades earlier. He wished that, you know, I hadn't gone so long, but it was what it was. It was supposed to be right now that I had that opportunity. And then in another angle, another situation where it was about me not standing up for myself, there was another friend, different kind of, you know, situation had gone down to ruin that friendship, but she came back and found me after a billion years. And I was like, wow, like, well, let me tell you how I felt about this. And, you know, and also forgiveness and finding compassion and understanding and whatnot, and being able to have that opportunity. So for me, it's been profound in that respect. It's been profound to be able to stop and work on my book number 5 and number 6. It's been able to, you know, a lot of things to come up with what we're going to talk about today. Wow. All of that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is a blessing to a certain extent. I mean, you're right. It has really allowed us to not be distracted by stuff out there. We're always running and really to be with our families.
Right.
Even though those who have little kids who are at home, it's crazy sometimes.
Oh, I can't imagine that part.
I mean, we have, you know, it's a wonderful skill, and we learn how to manage all that, which is perfect.
Right.
It's also a whole new way of working and communicating. A lot of people work virtually before COVID, of course, but I mean, it's really, you know, allowed us to think and work out issues with our partners because we're stuck in the same environment for a minute. Which is very difficult sometimes.
Right.
So we're dealing with that. And also solve and think about old stuff. I mean, I think a lot of patients I see are coming up with these things of, oh my gosh, this has given me time to think about unresolved issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing with COVID is a lot of, because of the lack of socialization, a lot of our old depression and anxiety comes back to us because we're kind of alone in our heads, or if we're with our partner, we don't want to drive them crazy, but we have all this high beta thought going on.
Yeah.
And we get more depressed and heavier. And so we have to work through these things. So yay to you for saying that this is a blessing.
Yeah. I see the silver linings on it. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's definitely some bad things.
Well, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, of course, you know, there are.
Never take a hug for granted again.
No kidding. Wow. That's heavy.
Yeah. I was at a grocery store and a lady, we're dealing with some flowers and she needed to go to her funeral, whatever. And we had this whole conversation about the colors of the flowers. And she told me about her daughter and the flowers that she got for her when she died. And then when she left that area, she just like took her hand and stroked my arm. This is like in March or April. Okay. And she just, you know, stroked my arm and said, bye, have a great day. And I was like, she touched bay, right? I mean, I was like, you know, have a great day, but inside I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. It was really weird to get past that.
Really? And you would give her a hug?
Absolutely. Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. I know that.
Yeah.
By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest is Jillian Harris. Here's her first book. Try to get that glare off. There you go. It's an amazing book. And we met How to Identify Your Reincarnated Loved Ones. And it's 420 pages.
That's right.
Story about her journey and meeting someone who has been the love of her life and then kind of came back around, and this is the real deal. You're right up there with Dolores Cannon on the past lives and reincarnation. She is just rocking it. You know, she's been doing it for 50 years, and you are a metaphysical, you are a scientist as well, because you study a lot of these things.
So I need to check her out.
Okay. Yeah.
I love that I haven't yet though, and that you would say that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Book also, The Secrets of Lost, the Validity of Multidimensional Existence, and that's in keeping with Have We Met as well.
Right.
You have a master's degree. You are a spiritual psychologist, as we call it, and an intentional coach, metaphysical consultant, conscious creation specialist, and on and on. And also, you were talking about the colors and how they affect. You know, there's a whole study in psychology of the effect that colors have on our psyche and how we perceive others. So also, maybe we can get into that a little bit, but I want to get into that maybe next time you and I chat.
So okay, cool.
It'll be soon, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a whole science behind that, and you have studied that as well. As how certain
It's part of what I do.
Business offices and or doctor's offices in certain colors, because it kind of eludes that feeling, you know, and
yes,
so we'll talk
wellness, about safety.
That's right. That was just jumping off your story about the colors of the flowers,
right? Yeah, awesome. Well, on the COVID thing, I'm so sorry I went a different direction, but I wanted to. One thing with some of the things that I created with regard to COVID were just to elicit. Or trigger healthy conversation, you know, about stuff like sex and touch and, you know, we're doing what we need to do. And then what I realized is happening, and this is why the sex survey, which they can find on my website, but I realized that, you know, depending on how afraid you are of COVID-19, depending on how deadly a cootie you think it is, and how bionic you think you are, despite whatever you think it is, that is playing in to what you're doing and how much you're touch deprived, you know.
Right.
You know, so there's that. I mean, there are a lot of people who have not skipped a beat.
No, it's true.
Dating.
Touch deprived is a really big thing. So I'd like to talk about your 7 steps of safe COVID dating.
And you okay.
Right now, and
say that again.
The 7 steps of safe COVID dating. If you could share.
Yes. Well, that's some good stuff. So the first 2 steps are because so many people meet online. And so with the COVID-19 thing, there's a tendency to do that part too long. And I never recommend, doing that communication online too much without moving to the next step, which needs to be a voice-to-voice to arrange when you're going to have a face-to-face, you know, with each other. I mean, but in person, to actually meet each other. And now it would be meeting for a quite literal 6-foot-apart date.
Right.
A 6-foot-apart date with a mask. If you're more than like 6 feet apart, then, you know, and there's no one else around, like it's a park or something, I take my mask off if I'm on those sort of dates. But we get closer, I'm certainly, you know, back masked again. But then in the attraction, the first step is to connect with somebody who, of course, you have that mutual attraction to, but then it's also somebody who is as conscious about COVID-19 and trying not to catch it as you are. And so these rules, by the way, these steps for safe COVID-19 dating, these are for people who are actually afraid.
Right.
Of COVID-19, who get that it is actually a serious illness that is actually taking up too many hospital beds in many states right now as we speak. So it's for them. Okay, so now you've met this person, you identified them, they're just as into, you know, gloves and masks and whatever as you are, maybe not gloves, but, you know, sanitizing and washing hands and everything. And now you've met them by phone, and you've scheduled time to meet. Okay, so now we get to the 5 basics, because normally well, I don't know what's normal anymore, but let's just say you already know the person. You've already met, right, face-to-face. You met at the grocery store, like the old days. So now you've already met this person. Now you got to take, you decided, you know, you like each other and everything. You got to take the test. So you go, you get tested, and then you share your test results with each other. And right about now, we're around step four or so. So you share your negative test results. And I want to say, I've been tested twice. And both times was really quick. Bada boom, bada bing. I was one of the first ones, you know, to do the drive-through. Woodland Hills, California is where I am. And did that, was in and out of that parking lot in maybe 5 or 6 minutes. And it was enjoyable. It was fun. And it was a mouth swab, not up my nostrils. So I have to say that that, you know, I haven't done up the nostril yet. I haven't, you know.
No fun.
Really? Oh, man. I can't imagine that it would be. But so then that one back then took about 6 days for me to get the results. The last time I went, which was just like about a week or so ago, it took a day and a half for me to get the result on my cell phone. So I think for dating purposes, that is really friggin' awesome. Yeah, so now you share that and you're good. Now the next step, though, is the agreement.
Right.
You have to do the COVID-19 romantic coupling agreement. And all the stuff that I'm talking about is available on my website. I made a whole COVID-19 dating page. So you can look at the steps and, you know, and you do you, I do me. You know, you like, if you don't like a particular step, take it out. You know what I mean? But it's just really to bring up the conversation so that we can, you know, talk about, it's important.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the agreement is basically, you know, like, I, Lucy, am dating Bob. And we've decided this is going to be monogamous. We're going to be exclusive with each other. The tricky part about this agreement and why it's such a thing is because normally at this part in your dating, you wouldn't be signing an agreement with anybody. You wouldn't be committing to monogamy with this person. You'd be on your first, second, third date. But with the COVID thing, you want to close your world enough that you're not bringing in, you know, statistically more chance of catching it. So if you want to be able to be close and unmasked and stuff with this person, then you need them not to be close and unmasked with a bunch of other people.
Absolutely.
It's pretty basic, you know? So you're making this commitment. The thing that's cool about it is you got a place where you, you both parties sign, and then there's an opt-out area below. So if it's not quite for you, you're just not feeling it, you know, it's just, let's be friends, you know, that thing, whatever. Then you just sign, date, take a picture of it with your phone, text it to the person and explain, you know, love you to pieces, but I'm opting out of the dating part. I don't want to, you know, yeah. And we could talk about it if you want to, or I don't want to talk about it. Whatever, I'll just opt out. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but you have to opt out. It's cheating if you don't.
Right, exactly.
And yeah.
Also try to, and it's difficult when you're doing online dating, you're getting to know people, and of course you're, then you know, your next step, you're face to face and you're loud.
Yes.
Then you meet in public at the park or where, you know, wherever that is, that kind of thing. How can we, I don't know, speed up getting to know someone's kind of social bubble, you know, who they have in their life, their sisters, their parents, their brother, you know. Okay, so they've agreed, you know, to just dating you exclusively to get to know you and see
right.
Whatever else results from that. How do we sort of go about asking someone or finding out what someone's, you know, social exposure bubble is in their life?
Right. Well, that's part of your, like, I want to say discovery time, you know. Just like you're finding out what they do for work and what they're interested in and what they like to do for fun, you know, it's right in there. And so I've just got a couple of clients who I've helped, you know, romantically during COVID-19. And that is part of what they have to do. They have to actually talk about it, you know, who's in your quarantine crew, you know, or like one found out that the guy that she's interested in, or that she's actually dating him now, they worked it out. But he was constantly hanging out with his friends.
Oh, yeah.
you know, and, you know, that's a bromance thing. And they're like, you know, pass me the beer. And they're not like, you know, like washing hands and you know what I mean? So she was really, really concerned. I mean, you know, he's doing all the right things with her and he's okay with the masks and, you know, but it's like you're tainting yourself potentially with your buddies. And like, how are your buddies doing? So they had to have a whole conversation for her to find out that actually his buddies are way more conscientious about it than him. And they were comfortable with him because of what he's going through with her. And so that kind of like made him a little bit safer. But yeah, so, but there you go. You have to go there. You know, are, do they have children? And, you know, and what are their kids doing? Are their kids, you know, out riding their bicycles, going to the stores and whatnot and touching everything and not wearing their masks because mom's not looking and not, you know, I've watched that happen.
I'm sure you have.
Yeah. You know. And then they come home and share it with you.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest, longtime friend, lovely human being, and gosh, a conscious metaphysical consultant and medium. She's always had gifts, and this is her book. I interviewed her, we met, and this is How to Identify Your Reincarnated Loved Ones, and also her latest book, The Secrets of Lost, Validity of Multidimensional Existence. You've always been into this as long as I've known you when we were in our 20s. You have amazed me with some of the things you told me about enlightenment or what might be happening with people. Or, I mean, I'm just like, really? This woman, is, you know, you have these gifts and you always have since you were very young. But talking about, by the way, if you want to, you know, have a question for Jillian, you can email right here, straight talk, doc at gmail.com with the tick in my throat. She's coming in. But yeah, what I want to do real quick is touch on, you know, trying to manifest what we want, especially right now in COVID. It's very difficult because we can't meet and greet necessarily or get out there. Everything is, of course, virtual, and we're trying to manifest our dreams in a time that everything looks pretty difficult. So you talk about creating our lives and consciousness. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. So first of all, one of the coolest things is that the law of attraction has nothing to do with it. It could care less about what, you know, economic predictions are, the recession that could really be happening. For, you know, the numbers, law of Wall Street fails, you know, it's like, so what? It's like there's a fire around you, but that has nothing to do with you. You know, that's what the law of attraction is really about when you really, really get it. And it is about, I heard you say that it to something along the lines of, because I didn't quite catch the words, but paraphrasing for you, something about, you know, succeeding and making our getting to our end goals right now with COVID-19 is really hard. And so if we see it as really hard and believe it to be hard, and in a lot of our situations, I mean, I have a private event valet company. And so you have to have the events in order to need my valet. And so, you know, I could say, wow, what an impossible situation. I am about to become very impoverished. If that's what I wanted to believe, that's where my focus would be. And that's then what would be true for me. But if I also, if I instead believed that somehow around this, I'm going to figure this out. I'm, you know, now my focus is different. And because of that, there's this little thing. There's a mechanism at the base of the stem of the brain, that reticular activating system. You know about that? Yeah. So it focuses, it's a filter, and it it filters out what's not important. It knows what's not important by what we focus on. What we focus on then is what it just starts to point out to us. I was using the example of a mercury tracer that my parents got me.
I love that. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know what the hell a mercury tracer was. I was really thinking they were going to get me something a little bit cooler. And And they tell us, yeah, we got you a Mercury tracer because you wanted a hatchback, right? Okay. So I'm like, what? And so next thing I know, though, because I'm focusing on this car that I'd never, ever heard of, I'm seeing them everywhere. And then later I got hit by one. I ended my experience with my Mercury tracer by being hit by a Mercury tracer. I had a blue Mercury tracer and another blue Mercury tracer hit me. It was just newer than mine. But so that'll happen to you.
Just checking this out, the reticular activating system.
Yes.
What does that have to do?
So as we do our affirmations and we do our focusing on what we really want to happen, when I was in, you know, young and noticing what was happening for me, how every time I pick a radio station or I pick a city that I wanted to live in. I want to live in Santa Barbara. I was following this boy to Santa Barbara. I'm like, oh, he's moving to Santa Barbara. I'm going to Santa Barbara. Let me see what stations are there. And I get a station in Santa Barbara. It's only got 5 stations. And the one that picked me didn't even have an opening. They made a space for me. I mean, like, so that kind of power. So how does that happen? Well, I got enthused. I got excited. And the focus and the evidence starts showing up. So that's your reticular activating system. So we want to change our words. We want to change the way we see things, the way we're talking about things, so we can feel different. And that's ultimately changing your belief system with more programming. It's reprogramming. So cool.
And you're also like a visualization expert. So
yes,
visualize yourself in environments. And also, because of the secret, and I think the one thing that they didn't mention in that was the emotion we put into our
vision. It's the major thing.
And our manifestations. We have to put the emotion of feeling that has already happened.
Yes.
And what's so cool with you is you've created all these wonderful jobs and these situations and just flowed with these books and your companies that you have. Is that you don't have what Esther Hicks calls resistant thinking. Never, as long as I've known you, you say, oh, I'm going to be doing this. And I say, okay. You know, I mean, you don't have that resistant thinking. You do it, you think it, you image it, you feel it, and it's, you get it.
Thank you for saying that. I promise, though, that I do have my areas. And, and you know, and because of having my areas, that's why, in a second, I'll be able to say I have 3 books regarding weight loss. But had I not gone through that resistance and recognized it and acknowledged, oh, that's what's up, then, you know, yeah. Oh, my God, since I last was in your physical presence, my waistline is like 15 or 16 inches smaller than it was then. Well, I've totally like, yeah. And the book that I'm number 5 is completely about the metaphysical tools. And I share with everyone the metaphysical tools that I use to get to where I'm going, and amazing before and after shots and stuff. And yeah, I'm surprised I'm not more, you know, don't do that on Facebook now, more body shots. But, I'm pretty impressed with myself. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
I mean, you do. You always sort of create, again, what you put on in your mind. And it's like all these things have always sort of popped up for you in your life. It's like KJLH, and boom, this station, this person, this. And it just... It just happens to you.
That's what I share with people. And to be able to do that for a living is amazing. You know, being an intention coach, I used to call myself a goal coach when I first graduated from USM. I called it goal coaching, but people are like, what? But when I say I'm an intention coach, nobody asks, they're like, oh, got it. I mean, you know, so, but it's about using everything.
Right.
And yeah.
It's in a plan of action, but also then you go into the kind of creating what you know, the imagery and what everyone's talking about, also with the quantum consciousness. It's already existing out there because of all the possibilities, but
right,
we're capable, you know, as conscious beings of creating that because we're connecting. We have to know how to connect with the field.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Out there, and there are so many tools that you suggest that we utilize. So can we talk about a little bit about manifesting as well, and what are some of the, as a consciousness coach and mindfulness teacher and everything, what you suggest that people do to help them make things become more real for them in their lives and the actual physical life out there?
Like a couple of tools? Absolutely. So contemplation is a simple tool, you know, to just let yourself bask in the contemplation of already having what it is you're working to attain. Never mind the journey to get there. Just like sit in, it's already here. Like, and a lot of people don't want to, they feel like that's going to jinx it or something. You know, even that word jinx, it's like, get that out of your vocabulary. You know, no such thing. And they say, you know, if I talk about this, I'm going to jinx it. If I say, you know, I'd rather, I do want to, I saw myself bringing up H to the is I to the Z-A-O. A fellow student at USM, there we are, and like the most intense part of, you know, just before graduating, and he comes up with this little rap thing, but it's H-I-Z-A-O, which is high involvement, zero attachment to the outcome. And I will never, ever forget that as a result of him doing that at that moment. But so we do want that, you know, because what we end up finding out is that it's not so much about the end goal, but it is about the journey. It is about what we go through, and you do want to put all in, you want to, you know, everything, and you end up getting to this place that, you know, where you are at your conclusion, and you may not have gotten exactly precisely the Lamborghini you wanted, you know, but you realize, wow, this Maserati is fine. It'll be just fine. I had not thought about this, you know, that whatever the end goal ends up being, because of the journey along the way, you wouldn't trade it for the world because of what you take in and your consciousness with that. So contemplation about being there also gives you that ability to feel, and that feeling is what sets out the vibration to actually create. There's your quantum physics part, right? So affirmations. I love teaching people how to make a truly powerful affirmation, because it's got to have certain elements to it. Like earlier, I was saying, I'm a millionaire. It's not enough. Yeah. It isn't enough, because first you don't 50% believe that you're a millionaire. You know, you just got evicted. You're living in your car. Yeah, so you're not a millionaire. You're not feeling that. So you have to be at least 51% believe what it is that you're trying to create, that it is attainable and possible. So you've got that. I'm a 500,000-aire. Okay, cool. You believe that could happen, then wonderful. At least 50% believe it. So now it needs to have an emotion word in it. I feel blah, blah, that this, you know, I am feeling something about having or doing this thing,
right?
You know, and then as a result of having or doing this thing, it needs to circle back and be a positive for other people. Yes. You know, and that's, you know, if I can go to church on even just a split second, that's how the creator works. It's not always just for one. It's actually for all for one, one for all. Even if it's about my beauty affects other people as they see it, and it makes them feel good and whatever, you know? So there's a way that it has to be in there. So I even do affirmations in a two sentence, you know, or sometimes it's just one long sentence that captures the whole thing that needs to be, but you want your affirmation to be something you can memorize and just be able to do it without, you know, looking at it. But yeah, so those are a couple of them, you know.
And you know, we are, as usual, when you and I get to talking,
I know,
we run out of time.
I know.
We'll have lunch. It's like, oh, I gotta go.
I know. Look at the clock. Oh my God. And I wanted to, like, well, let me just throw this out for a second. Because yes, to me, this is one of the biggest takeaways that I've got going on right now in terms of the time that we're in, and the turmoil that we're in. And that is that we are all reincarnated people. We reincarnate. And when we reincarnate, we don't always come back the same sex, the same race, the same religion, astrological sign, same country, you're, all everything changes. Right. And part of that is so that we can have so many different experiences. But on top of that, we have that, that we're living right now because we have that spiritual history and memory, you know? And healing that needs to happen as our ancestors are with us and have gone through things, and they're hoping that through us, they will heal. But part of that is because of the physical part, there's cellular memory. You know, so as we get from our parents, some of their trauma, who they got it from some of their parents and their parents. So on a physical level, we have that going on. And then the next layer is the last layer, but it's a lot of layers that I've just done so far. The last one is that we are some of our ancestors.
No, I didn't mean to talk over you. We're just about out of time in 30 seconds.
Oh, shoot. I'm done then.
Not the hard
talk about it.
Going on here. So no, I just didn't mean to interrupt you. And I just, this is so much.
I know.
Information that you give to everybody. Jillian Harris, thank you so much. Here, spiritual souls on the show, on the couch, intention coach, metaphysical consultant, conscious creation specialist. What's the best way people can find out more about you, Jillian, and get your books?
Would be my website, JillianHarrisWorldwide.com, and it's Jillian with a G.
Perfect. So nice to see you always.
Always. Take care. Thank you.
All right. All right, everybody, we're just about off the couch here. Stay here on LA Talk Radio for more great stuff coming on. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and thank you for being here. Have a good one. Talk to you next Tuesday at 12 noon. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.